The date is April 11th, 1996, and my name is Jerry Arndt, and I will be interviewing my husband, Kevin Arndt. Okay, we're at our home in Woodland Acres, and we just want to find out a little bit about Kevin and what he's been through while he's been in Kodiak. What year did you come to Kodiak, Kevin?
Let's see, it was approximately June of 64, right after the earthquake, the tidal wave.
And what did it look like when you got here? Was it?
It was a mess. It really was. We kind of just had an idea as kids that, well, first of all, I should say that I was 8 years old, and when we got here, and kind of had heard, living in Wisconsin, what had happened to Alaska, mainly Kodiak, and so we knew what to expect. When we got here, we flew in on PNA, which was the only airline, and they wasn't daily service; it was twice or three times a week.
And, what is PNA? Do you remember?
Pacific Northern Airlines. And flew in, landed at this old World War II era building, small, and my dad was here to pick us up, and we drove to town, some old car, went through town. It was still a mess, even in June. They were still cleaning it up. There were still boats up on land that they were working on to get off, and it was a real mess. Muddy, mud everywhere. Nothing was clean. And then we went out to Island Lake, where we were going to live. And house was almost done. Still had wood floors. The doors weren't up. And that was the start.
That was the start, huh? Now, you said your dad was here. Was he here during the earthquake?
Yeah, he was at the house during the earthquake when it started. And he got outside right away and went over to the pickup truck, he said, and he said it was just like a bucking bronco. This was on rubber tires, and it was just bouncing all over the place, and he hung on to it as long as he could. And I guess the earthquake lasted for approximately 4 to 5 minutes. And many people thought that the world was coming to an end.
That's what a lot of people thought here in Kodiak, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What other kinds of things do you remember when you first came to Kodiak besides all the boats up on the up by the town and all the mud and like how many people were here and how was it developed and what kinds of things do you remember as a kid?
Well, at that age you don't really care about how many adults there are, it's gonna how many kids there are. who there is out there to play with or make friends with. There was a lot of adults, just I remember that. A lot of cars, a lot of trucks. Nothing but muddy roads.
No pavement.
No, not that I remember any pavement. There was some pavement going out to the airport. The base road was paved. Town was just a mess, probably mainly because of the tidal wave and the outlying roads. We lived 3 miles from town and there wasn't much on the way out. There was quite a few houses, I guess, but the closer you got to Island Lake, there wasn't much. And remember, there wasn't no harbor, lots of boats all over, but there was no harbor for them.
Was that because of the tidal wave?
Yeah, it had taken out the breakwater, taken out the docks, the stalls, piling, everything. Just completely cleaned her out. And third grade was my first grade, which a couple months after we got here, we started it. And there was a lot of construction going on and cleaning up, and it was pretty active. We didn't get downtown much, and probably once a week, maybe as kids, that we'd go down shopping. One thing I do remember is going through the store after we were here, and they had canned goods that you could get for, I think it was 10 cents a can or a nickel a can. All the wrappers were off of it. The water had cleaned everything off. And it was still good stuff, but they didn't know what it was. So they just put it in it was a big area that had it, and you just pay a nickel a can.
And whatever you got.
And I I remember we bought quite a bit of it. The floor was muddy, dirty.
In the store?
In the store. And because the water had gone in and out of it. I don't know if it was the original Crafts building. They might have set up temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And we got shopping probably once a week. They had a good supply of food. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't where everybody's in there buying it up as soon as it got to town.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember that. But that's pretty much about it. I know there wasn't a whole lot of people. There wasn't traffic. I remember down in the States, there was traffic you're always fighting. We didn't have traffic up here. A lot of people walk. You always see a lot of people walking. And you get introduced to people and that my dad would know and go look at places. He was a carpenter and they'd want him to help out doing something.
So did he have a business here in town?
Yes, I think, I don't know if you call it a business. He was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
What brought him up here was him and my uncles were building domes for radar sites up in Nome and Kotzebue, I guess, just all over Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
They'd get contracts to do it and go up there and do it. And he liked Kodiak when they had a job on the Navy base. And he decided to stay. And my other uncle decided to stay in Homer. And the other one didn't want no part of Alaska other than to work here, go back to Wisconsin.
So you have an uncle that lives in where?
Homer.
And then you have your dad lives here.
And my other uncle used to live in Wisconsin. And he died probably 1990, 1991. Okay. But he used to commute up here every summer for about 4 or 5 months and work for either my dad or my uncle. And Homer.
He would fly up here.
Mm-hmm. He'd drive.
Oh, he'd drive.
Between the two of them, they'd usually always want a new vehicle and get a good deal in Wisconsin, so he'd be the one who'd drive it up, load it up with whatever, and come up.
Right. Now, you had mentioned something about, well, of course you guys went to school, and you had brothers and sisters, and what kind of a school, I guess, did they have here? Was the school that you went to, was it all?
Well, they had one? Kind of what you would call it was basically a new one. They had the old one that was downtown, sitting on a knoll. It was a big wooden structure with old windows, built during the war.
And that was an elementary school?
It was an elementary school and oak floors. And I'd only been in it a couple times when we went over to the school. It was mainly for the town kids and my experience with the town kids when I started school was they were all no good. So we kind of just hung out with the kids that lived out of town. And we went to main school and I don't remember, there were a lot of kids there, but that was third grade, started there. And by the time I got up to fifth grade, they were building a new school.
And what school is that?
East Elementary.
Oh, okay.
And so for fifth grade, they were running two shifts of school.
How did they work that?
He would start at, first shift would start at 7:30, I think, and go until 11:30. And then the next shift would start at 12 and go until 3 or 4 or something like that.
And this was for?
For probably about, 5-6 months of school. And then we moved over to the new school, East Elementary.
Uh-huh.
The kids that lived in that general area, and we lived a mile from it, so we got to go to it.
Yeah.
Went through it for fifth and sixth grade, and then went to the junior high after that, which is still the junior high building.
Mm-hmm. And then they had the high school too, right?
Oh, yeah. I think the high school at the time was still in the main school building. I went to third grade, third and fourth. Farther on down was junior high, and then the high school was in there too.
Okay.
It's the original building. It's still here.
Okay. I guess my next question would be, what kinds of changes have you seen in Kodiak as far as the growing? Kodiak has obviously grown a lot in the last 40 years. What kinds of changes have you seen since you've been here?
Well, probably Probably the same type you would see just about anywhere. One of the main things I remember is up till I was probably in high school, finishing high school, it was, if you ever flew anywhere, went to Anchorage on a plane or anything, you knew everybody on the plane. It was nice.
Just the way it is now, huh?
It was nice. Now you don't know anybody.
Oh.
It's very rare that you will know somebody that's on the plane. There's just so many more people here. I think there was probably about maybe 3,000 total on the island then, and now there's 10,
mm-hmm.
10, 5. So it's, you know, we got jet service, and that was a big deal. More paved roads.
Was that Ween?
Right.
Is that
Ween,
the first?
Ween came in here. They were the first.
Mm-hmm.
We just loved it. But I remember urban renewal was probably the best thing that happened after the tidal wave. That's where the feds come in and they start rebuilding the town. Kind of redesign it, how it's going to be laid out. And they give or sell property to businesses that were in town originally and were wiped out. And get federal money and build a new store. They put the mall in, and outlying lots, and banks got to buy parcels and big parcels, and it was laid out pretty well. And
so that's when
a lot of construction.
When a lot of the businesses came in. And
yeah, a lot of them were already here though, and they just continued on,
mm-hmm.
built up, and that took probably about 5 years, 5 years to happen, six, and then slowly would grow.
Right around what time period is that? So we
oh, probably the early 70s,
mm-hmm.
late 60s it started. People would put up small buildings to begin with, temporary housing. Remember Crafts built a temporary building right down on the waterfront, and it was good size building, and then they planned out their big store, the big one that they have now, or had now, mm-hmm. just recently sold out. And then when they moved out of that building, it was a big one. It was probably about, I would say about 80 by 40.
The first one that they had?
They built here, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember my dad bought the building when it was all, when they were done with it. They had a bakery in it for a while, and then the city decided that was going to be a parking lot. It had to go because it was temporary anyways, and they mm-hmm. went in with chainsaws and cut it in 4-foot sections and took it apart and lifted the trusses off. And
did they utilize any of that?
Yes, my dad sold the building, and we still have a bunch of the old grooved laminated trusses that were home built.
Did you at your dad's
yard.
House?
That is yep, they're still there, probably the last little part of old Kodiak.
Wow. And that, and you said that was on Iron Lake.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Now you've told me about this a little bit, about Sitka-Leduc Island and the history of that. Now tell me a little bit about the time that you went down there with a friend of yours when you first got out of high school, is that right?
Yeah, back in 76, it had been, really hadn't been taken care of down there. On Sitka-Leduc Island, there was a homestead, 160 acres. My uncle and my dad bought it, felt there was an opportunity there to make some money with selling cows or ranching or whatever. They both owned landing crafts, 130-foot landing crafts, and they figured that was kind of the key to the whole operation, which it was.
So you can ship things down to the island?
Yeah, you can get the cows off of there or whatever mm-hmm. you needed to do. So they had bought it, and it had been kind of sitting idle for about a year, and the fishermen and natives around there, and everybody was utilizing the cows. Fishermen were utilizing them for bait, free bait. You shoot yourself a 500-pound cow, drag it on the boat, butcher it up, and last quite a while as bait. And the natives would use it to sustain, basically. They'd hunt, get a few of them every so often. And probably worked out well. And then David Johnson, Dr. Bob's son, and I went down, good friend, we graduated together, went down in 75. I think it was 75 or 76 that they bought it. And right after that, we went right down there to kind of watch the place, and spent about a month and a half down there, not knowing, being dumped off from a plane with 2 3-wheelers-wheelers and enough food to last us for 2-3 weeks. We didn't know how long we were going to be down there, but we figured at least a month, and they figured they'd bring us some more supplies. So we'd never been down there, got dropped off in an area that high tide, you can't get off of a little knoll. plane drops us off there and leaves. So by dark, we're able to get off of this knoll.
Mm-hmm.
And we put the bikes together while it was light and headed over to the buildings and figured which we'd stay in the small one. Nice buildings, nice cedar homes that were built right after the tidal wave, because the tidal wave washed that place out too.
Mm-hmm.
It's only about 10 feet above high water mark, going back about 500 feet where the buildings are. And we stayed down there and kind of cleaned the place up, and it was some really pretty country down there. It really is. Met a lot of the natives from Old Harbor and became, we were friends with a lot of them because we'd gone to school with them. So
mm-hmm.
they were coming down there quite often. And
they would come over to Sikulik?
Yep. We were down there in March. So it was kind of the time when the snow was starting to leave, but we got a lot of snow when we were down there.
Mm-hmm.
We spent our days cutting wood or hauling water and just checking the whole area out on the three-wheelers. Just ride and ride and ride. It was kind of fun.
Now, did you have any encounters with bears?
No, we didn't even have any idea that there was ever even a bear on there. And if they were there, they were, we, not thinking about it, but thinking now, looking back at it, it was, they were probably all hibernating. So it's
yeah.
not something we ever ran into. Fox and dead cows and lots of live cows. Lots
wow.
of them.
And you've been down there recently. Maybe you can share a little bit about that.
Yeah, we went down in, as recent as Thanksgiving, about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, yeah, about 5.5 months ago, we went down there to, just to get away from it. So happens that, a year ago it was put up for sale. My dad and uncle put it up for sale, and so my brother and I bought it.
And who's your brother?
Brent. Decided we're going to maybe try to get into the lodge business. And it really is nice down there. I don't think there's another place on the island like it. There's a beach down there that's about 3 miles long. White sand, or the color of ash, I guess you'd call it white sand.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the Maui Beach. Okay? Faces Hawaii. Can't see it, but it's out there somewhere. And it's really nice. It's a nice place to get away. There's no, you don't have to deal with traffic. You don't have to deal with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Take your supplies and just go down and enjoy it.
Now, you said your plans for it, we've talked a little bit about this, but your plans for it are doing a lodge. What kind of?
Probably fishing and fishing lodge, sightseeing, do some, there's about 14 miles of road down there, somewhere between 12 and 14, two different locations.
Where do they go to?
They go to different bays, and there's just a lot down there to see. Fishing is not, I don't know much about fishing. That's something somebody else would have to handle. As far as sightseeing down there, taking people out whale watching, that's something I could handle.
Mm-hmm. Now that's the same place that Jack McCord
started it. He decided that Alaska needed more open range and public lands for grazing. It should be all over the United States. So he knew a lot of congressmen. He ended up getting stuff passed, and he got the grazing leases or grazing act passed. I think it was 1930 or something. And he decided Sitkalitik come to Alaska, and ended up in Kodiak for a bit, and then down at Sitkalitik and Cherikov, and started cattle ranches at both places.
Mm-hmm.
He patented the land in 1949, 160 acres, and had sheep down there. And they raised fox down there, and then when he had sold out in 62, sold out 50% to a guy named Rocky Rothwell, he moved in mink, started farming mink down there.
Mink? What?
Mink is just a little rodent type
okay.
animal that you make coats out of its fur.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know we had those here.
Yeah, we did. We do. There was a lot down there, and they ended up turning them loose because they had a epidemic of some sort that started killing them off, so they let them go. And the fox population thrived right after that for a bit. But during the tidal wave, Rocky flew down there right after the tidal wave to kind of see what he had left down there. And was flying over, and the place was just destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a heart attack on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
He survived, but It was a total shock to them. And then right after that, in 65, 66, they built a big big house, 4-bedroom house, cedar home, and a 1-bedroom.
And a the rock house?
Right, and an 80 by 80 metal building, concrete slab for a slaughterhouse, and they were going to start doing all their own slaughtering down there. And
cows and
stuff. And bring refrigerated boats in or vans and haul them out. And I don't know that it really did well. I don't know if they got anything out of there. They had a lot of equipment down there to build roads and stuff to get to and fro.
And it's still down there, isn't it?
There's a lot of it still there.
Well, maybe you can...
Another note that I probably should add, too, is on Sitkalitik, probably more on the east side is where the village of Old Harbor was located before the tidal wave, and it got completely wiped out during the tidal wave. And
on the east side of the island of Sitkalitik? Oh, I didn't know.
And is it the west? No, I think it's the east side. And then they moved over to the mainland, which is only about half a mile water between the two. And came over and started the village of Old Harbor. But there was a lot of there's still a couple structures over there that were kind of left from the tidal wave. There were a lot of people that lived over there.
I guess we could go back a little bit to what you were doing after you went to high school. What kinds of things? You're into business, and I'm just curious to hear a little bit about what you encountered in the business field and what kinds of businesses you had and how what thrived and what didn't.
I guess you had to be ambitious, and there was a lot of opportunity back then. You know, just say somebody wanted to get into a certain field and follow it through and see it through. I got into excavating right out of high school, and so I worked for an excavating company because I always wanted to learn how to do it. And then from there I decided that maybe, you know, that there was more to excavating or to doing on your own than for somebody else. So I...
What company did you work for first?
It's called North Pacific Construction, which was a new company. It had only been in business for less than a year when I went to work for them, and I really didn't know how to do much. I could run dozer a little bit because I had a friend of mine who had a dozer and let me play on it, and kind of learned a little bit. And then another guy let me run 580. So 580, I was a little more proficient at than dozer, but I always wanted to learn to drive dump truck. Just love the idea of being in a big truck, so that's why I went to work for them. Worked for him for about 3 years, and then got into, after about the, within the first year working with him, I got into selling mobile homes because there was a demand for it. There was only one guy doing it. He had a trailer court. He was selling a lot of them. So I got into it, and second year, I think, out of high school, first year, I had 7 trailers coming in at once. And we was busy getting them set up, and did that for probably about 2 years, brought them in a few at a time and set them up and sold them and did excavating. And just kind of, there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of people doing different things and doing more than one thing, and there wasn't a whole lot of people that liked Kodiak that wanted to stay.
Really?
You know, that had certain skills. No electricians and plumbers were hard to find. There was a lot to be done. I loved it. I loved it here. I loved the weather, the summers. The winters I never did care for. Summers I love, so that's kind of why I'm still here.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Anything I didn't cover? Anything that you want to add?
No, not that I can think of. No,
okay.
I can.
Well, thank you for your interview.